Ed Schaefer, former Secretary of Agriculture for this nation, also former governor of the state of North Dakota. And he was at the big announcement that Doug Burgum had yesterday, and I want to make sure we get his take on it. Mr. Schaefer, I don't know which title to use, so I'll just call you Ed. That's what you always tell me to do.
Thank you.
Good to have you on air again, bud.
Thanks, Joe. Good to be with you.
All right. Give me your take. What did you see yesterday?
Well, first of all, I have to say it was totally appropriate for Doug Burgum to wear a suit yesterday for his announcement.
And I have to say, thank you for listening to the show, but go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was having more fun talking to Abby than listening to your show. here's the deal. I mean, it's a bio, right? It's a biography for Doug Burgum, and that's telling you who he is. And he's out there on the ranch and riding the horses and rounding up cattle and doing all that stuff, right? But who he wants to be is president of the United States. And the president of the United States is the most powerful position in the world. And you know what? You wear a suit. And, you know, having been there, I mean, George W. Bush never walked in to the White House, into the Oval Office, without a suit on and a tie on. I never walked into the Oval Office without a suit on or a tie on. Actually, I did once, but that was a special circumstance. But, you just have that respect for the office, and it's formal and directive and protocol, and, you know, it's wearing a suit, man, whether you like it or not.
Well, wait a second, though. If you're going to say it that strong, I get a chance to push back. Number one, he did get kicked out of the North Dakota House because he didn't have a tie on. So let's not pretend that it's necessarily a sign of respect. My point is this. The image that would separate him from everyone else is this North Dakotan that he has portrayed himself as his years. He doesn't, as governor, often wear a tie. And I love that about him. That new generation of Americans doesn't wear a tie. And so you can sit there and say, well, that's disrespectful. If that's the case, then he's been disrespectful for a while, Governor.
Well, I don't want to twist it around to being disrespectful. I'm saying that the president of the United States is a respected global office. And in my opinion, I'm saying that's where I want to be. That's where I want to sit. That's where I want to strike my pen. You're going to do it in a suit.
Okay.
And here's the deal. I mean, we all see it. I mean, this wouldn't be unique for Doug Burgum to be out there, you know, in a suit, Kent Conrad stands out in the wheat field with a plaid shirt on during a campaign and doing a campaign ad. And then he goes to Washington and wears a suit to go to work. So it wouldn't be unique. It wouldn't be different. It would be, you know, Doug Burgum's background, who he is. But that doesn't break through anything, in my opinion, to the national media, or he's something different or this and that. They all do it. They all pretend to be somebody in a campaign of who they were, not who they're going to be.
So what's the separator then yesterday that makes people on a national scale that finally got a glimpse of who this man was? What separates him from all of these other candidates yesterday?
Well, you know, I think, and I appreciated your conversation with Tyler, you know, about the excitement in the room and what was going on and friends, family, supporters, you know, all being gathered who already knew him. But I think what I've come to believe is everybody, I mean, nobody likes the candidates out there. Nobody likes Biden. Nobody likes Trump. Nobody likes DeSantis. Nobody likes Chris Christie. You know, people like Nikki Haley because she's pretty cool. You know, I really like Kim Scott. I think he's great. But, you know, there's no real – they're all in the system. They're all politicians. They're all cut and dry. And they're all saying the same things. You know, we got to fight each other to win. And Doug Burgum gets a chance to go out there and say, you know, this is small-town North Dakota. This is – I am a product my values, my character come from North Dakota, and we need to translate North Dakota values, he said, small town values, into big city work. And he's right. And I think that message, I think people are, they're looking for values. They're looking for that something different. Let's get away from the strife and the difficulty and the problems that we have. And let's just talk about problems and solutions to fix them. And I think Doug Burgum has a chance to put that message out there.
Well, okay, that's your vision of policy. That isn't what my point to the question was, Ed. My point to my question was, he got a chance yesterday to be seen, to have the nation's eyes placed upon him. And you're getting down into the now you've got the job and you're governing. And I respect that, because that's been, you know, your X's and O's for a long time, and I'd like to think that's what Doug's has been. My point is, what needs to happen to make sure that a national audience actually gets to know who this man is?
Yeah.
Something has to stick out, and I think you're missing my point. And my point isn't that I thought it would be disrespectful. I'm going to go back to the suit. I think people would say, you know what? That guy looks as though he's part of that new generation of Americans. Now, forget the suit. Then let's talk about the speech. What was it that he doesn't got to go on and bash Donald Trump? I get that. Chris Christie's going to do that for him. What I'm trying to get at is something has to sound different, and it's not just, okay, I'm a good guy. It's got to be something else that makes it stand out.
Yeah, and I get your point, and I do hear your point. It's just I get to answer the question how I want to.
Yeah, so. No, I get that. Because Nancy's hitting your knee as you make your way to Medora doesn't mean you should be this ornery. You know that, right?
Yeah. So, here's what I think, and. You know, and Tyler got to it too, saying, you know, it's going to be boring and, you know, hopefully back to that kind of thing. It's where Doug needs to go is the stuff he's doing now is bio stuff. It's who I am, what I, you know, how I grew up, what I, my values are, my small town work, my building a $1 billion business. You know, he's getting that out there as the, this is who I am. But to get a share of voice, as we call it in the media, you know, to get that share of voice out there in the marketplace, in my opinion, he's got to say, this is a problem. And by the way, this is how you fix it. So, you know, everybody goes out there, every Republican is out going out there and say, we're going to have to lower your taxes. We're going to have to, you know, get government out of your face. We're going to change regulations. Every one of them is going to say that. Doug Burgum is going to stand up, I hope, and I think he needs to stand up and say, this is how you do it. Here's North Dakota. It's the size and scope of a good model. We've done it here. This is how it works. And this is how you translate it to the national stage. You got to solve the problem. I'm here to do it, and this is how.
So how do you get that message out? Is it strictly through money? Because you had free media there yesterday. I mean, is it strictly through I'll buy the opportunity? Because the Fargo Forum and News and Views, even though we were quoted in the New York Times today, News and Views in the interview we had with Doug Burgum were quoted in the Times, but those two platforms are not going to connect with the people of South Carolina and New Hampshire and Iowa the same way they would if you were on CNN or you were on Fox News or you were on one of those different venues. And so I know you get to answer the question the way you want. Look at Nancy and high five. I get that. You know, great line. It doesn't change my point, which is what made people yesterday say, you know what? I got to take a better look at this Burgum guy. That's a different guy.
Yeah. Well, the reality is it is money, and nothing yesterday is going to make a difference at all in how people are going to vote. And you have to remember, this is not a public vote. This is not a vote for president. This is a vote to get the nomination from the Republican Party. And how he's going to do that, as you noticed, he left right away to go to Iowa and then is off to New Hampshire. You know, it's retail politics, Joel. It's on the ground. It's having surrogates, you know, in every county and in those three early states. You have to be there. You have to be knocking on doors. You have to be eating pies at the county fair. You have to be talking to people, and you have to be getting, hopefully, the earned media in the local place. But you're going to spend a ton of money on media, on purchased media, to get your share of voice out there. He's got to get a share of voice, and it's going to be really, really hard with the people who are already in the race, who are already known, who are gonna get all the attention and have all the resources. You know, he's gonna spend $100 million just to advance yesterday in the first three states.
Yeah.
People, organization, advertising, presence. You know, that's how you get it. It's retail politics. It's, you know, it's door knocking. He's got to be out there. And in the limited number of people who are going to vote for the nomination, that's how you have to get it done.
So the RNC set up the rules that seem to be stacked against people like Doug Burgum, everything other than money. We both know he has a lot of money, and he has the Harold Hams of the world who have a lot of money to give him a lot of money. But if you look at the rules of what the RNC set up, it's going to be tough to get on a stage with a DeSantis or a Trump to be part of the conversation. Were they right in doing that, or have they stacked the deck?
Yeah, well, I think it was stupid. I think that I don't know where the Republican Party, the National Party, is going with this. Or why. But yeah, I mean, we should be having open and free and, you know, basically nominations from the floor, and people should be able to weigh in and get out there and say, this is who I am and this is what I want to do, and vote for me or don't. But, you know, it's stacked deck. I mean, he has to get 40,000 individual contributors. He has to have 1% of three different national polls. You know, those are big hurdles. Now, you know, you have to get out and get them. But if he doesn't meet those requirements and he doesn't get on the stage for the debate, how does he get his message across?
Yeah,
can't.
And that, in fairness to me, that was my point about yesterday. He had a chance for national media to get to know him. All right, so last question, I promise, before you get to that town where every street you walk down, you'll think of your father. Let me, he's on his way to Medora, ladies and gentlemen. Let me ask you this. Can he win?
It's a real long shot, Joel. The percentage of, you know, if you were betting, the odds of him winning are very limited. But that's what campaigns are all about. And campaigns are out there. You're selling your message. You're marketing yourself. Other people are doing the same. And if things fall right, you don't know what's going to be on people's minds. Every campaign is different. Every time is different. People are going to be looking for whatever concerns they have and who's the best person to solve those problems. And, you know, you got to get in. You can't win the race if you're not in the race. And if you're in there, you know, if things fall one way, you're out. And if things fall the other way, you can have a chance of getting there. And that's kind of the exciting part of the presidential nomination campaign. And you just don't know what's going to unfold. I mean, you know, you could have the bus crash and not have a bunch of candidates that you have already.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. There's always an opportunity to win. If you're in the race, you can win the race. But in this case, given the circumstances of today, the politics of today, the political systems of the day, all trying to shut people out of the debates, it's going to be it's going to be a heavy lift.
Yeah. Well, it's just honesty. And as you said, you get to answer the way you want to answer. So drive safe.
Come on, Joe.
No,
I was just giving you grief.
No, you were right. So, but I was right about the jeans. We can debate that another day. All right.
All right.
Take care, Governor.